All right, dummy coding for multiple categories. What goes into SPSS was treatment one was coded one, treatment two was coded two, and the control was coded three. Now, the conditions aren't quantitatively different. It's not that one is one of something, and two is two of something, and three is three of something. These are now codes, not values. So they're not quantitative. So we cannot stick this variable that has values of 1, 2, and 3 into a multiple regression, because it's not a quantitative variable. Just because it's numerical doesn't mean that it's quantitative, because here the numbers represent different kinds. So what we're going to have to do is code it. How many codes? We're going to need k minus 1 codes. So with three groups, we're going to need two codes. And the number of codes is always the same thing as the degrees of freedom for that effect.
Say that one more time.
Sure.
Three groups equals
two codes. Three groups will always have two degrees of freedom. So the degrees of freedom and the number of codes are the same thing. The comparison or control condition gets a zero for all codes. That's how you can tell who the comparison group is. They get a zero for all codes. Each other group gets a one for one code and a zero for all the others. So group, if you're in group one, on dummy code one you get a value of one, on dummy code two you get a value of zero. This combination tells us that dummy code one is going to compare the dummy code with the comparison. You know this is the comparison because it got zero for both codes. If you're in group two, you get a zero on dummy code one and a one on dummy code two. So what dummy code two is going to do is compare group two to the control. How are we doing? Now the one thing you may notice is I didn't mention a comparison of group one to group two because there isn't one. We are limited to k minus 1 codes. So we're always going to lose some information. We don't get all three pairwise comparisons. We only get k minus 1 pairwise comparisons. So you have to be judicious how you pick your control group, and I'll show you some tricks. But remember what SPSS is going to do. That highest coded group is going to become the comparison condition in the codes, whether you intended it to be that way or not. If we had set this up so that one was the control, two was treatment one, three was treatment two, this would compare the control with treatment two, this would compare treatment one with treatment two. Because the highest code becomes the comparison group. So you can have it any way you want. You just have to remember what SPSS is going to do without any further encouragement. So person number one is in group one, so they get a dummy code one of one and two of zero. Person 2 is in the same group, so they get the same codes. Persons 3 and 4 are both in group 2, so they get a 0 on dummy code 1 and a 1 on dummy code 2. Persons 5 and 6 are both in group 3, which is going to get turned into the comparison group, and so they get a 0 on both codes. Again, dummy code 1 is going to compare group 1 and group 3. Dummy code 2 is going to compare group 2 and group 3. All right, how do we interpret these? First of all, look at the blue. Don't interpret the correlation of K group dummy codes. I'll explain why more later, but I want this seared into your brain now. Do not interpret K group dummy codes. They don't mean what you think they mean. All right, for multiple regression, and it's going to be a multiple regression now because you've got at least two dummy codes. You've only got one variable in your head, the treatment variable, but what goes into the model is dummy code 1 and dummy code 2. So it thinks it's a multiple regression model. A is the mean of the comparison or control condition. Same as always. A is the expected value of Y if all the predictors have a value of 0. When do all the predictors have a value of zero? When dummy code 1 and dummy code 2 are both zero. When does that happen? When you're in the comparison condition. Does that make sense? So, just a point. These folks are going to have a mean that's given by A. Each B tells the size and direction of the Y mean difference of that group and the control. So dummy code 1, the B weight is going to tell us the mean difference between group 1 and group 3. Dummy code 2 is going to tell us the mean difference between group 1 and group 3. I'm sorry, group 2 and group 3. So, this A tells us the mean of group 3. Dummy code 1 tells us the difference between 1 and 3, and therefore tells us the difference, tells us the value of 1. Dummy code 2 tells us the difference between 2 and 3, and so tells us the value of 2. The significance tests in both cases are the test of that pairwise mean difference. Multiple regression, all the same thing except now it's the mean difference between that group and the control group controlling for all the other variables. And this is ANCOVA. What's the difference between group 1 and the control group controlling for everything else in the model? What's that mean difference controlling for some set of variables? Alright, so a set of K minus 1 dummy codes is roughly equivalent to a set of Dunnett's post hoc comparisons without correction. Dunnett's doesn't give you all of the pairwise information. A Dunnett's post hoc test picks one comparison group and compares everything to it. Yes?
I am an idiot and I do not know what Dunnett's post hoc comparison is.
It's one of the minor comparisons we learned when we talked about K group ANOVA. So if this is helpful, sweet. If it's not helpful, just learn the next sentence.
I like that.
For a 3 group, you get 2 of 3 pairwise comparisons. For a 4 group, you only get 3 out of 6 pairwise comparisons. For a 5 group, you get 4 out of 10. So as the number of conditions increases, the amount of information you get back is proportionately smaller. One approach is to have the largest or the most common group used as the comparison. For example, we were doing stuff with race and ethnicity, and we had more European Americans than anybody else, so we made them the comparison group. So we ask, how does each group differ on the criterion from the largest group? Make sense? That's very often the question you want to ask. What's the largest? What's the most common? How does every other value differ from that? It gives the comparison of each group to that most common group, but notice it doesn't give a pair of comparisons among the other. This sort of multiple group analysis is really important because otherwise we start doing stupid shit. Let me give you an example of stupid shit from yesterday. We had 5 ethnic groups. This was the most common. It accounted for about 60% of the total sample. What they had done was a dummy code. Okay? The largest group versus everybody else put together. Now that might make sense. Might not. You got to check. This is kind of like running a complex comparison coded this way. We're going to take the average of these 4 and compare it to the average of this. Well, here's the problem. These are the group means on a dependent variable that we cared about. Things you should notice. 1, them there groups are heterogeneous. They're not all the same thing. It doesn't make sense to lump them together and say, you're a thing represented by the grand mean. Worse than that, wherever that grand mean is, it's fallacious. Okay? This is a bad time to start collapsing categories. So what do? Well, we use four coded dummy codes. We ended up comparing everybody to that group. We don't get the comparisons among, we don't get the six comparisons among the four groups. We do get the four comparisons of the other groups to whatever we pick as the contrast or comparison group. Okay? And you got to pick which information you're going to get. Another procedure that works really well is using the comparison group with the middlemost mean. So let's say that group 1 has a mean of 12, group 2 has a mean of 10, group 3 has a mean of 8. I would use group 2 as the comparison group. Now remember, SPSS isn't going to do this on its own. You're going to have to take over, and I'll show you how to write a recode or an if statement. So dummy code 1 is 100 for group 1, 2, and 3. Dummy code 2 is going to be 001 for groups 1, 2, and 3. Notice that group 2 has a 0 on both. That makes group 2 the comparison group. The comparison group is the group that has a 0 on all codes. And so if group 2 is the comparison group, dummy code 1 is going to compare group 1 and 2. If group 2 is the comparison group, dummy code 2 is going to compare 3 and 2. We get a significant effect. We get a significant difference between group on dummy code 1, so between group 1 and group 2, so we know that this is statistically significant. We get a difference on dummy code 2, so we know that this is statistically significant. If 12 is bigger than 10 and 10 is bigger than 8, by inference, we know that 12 is bigger than 8. So given certain codings and certain patterns of data, we effectively get all possible pairwise comparisons. Here we have a slightly different one. Here we get a difference. We do not get a difference between 1 and 2. We do get a difference between 2 and 3. So we know that because DC1 is comparing group 1 and group 2, we know that 12 is not different than 10. We know that 10 is not different than 8. However, we know there's a difference somewhere because the overall model fit. So if there's no difference between 10 and 12, and there's no difference between 10 and 8, but there's a difference somewhere, there must be a difference between 12 and 8. Okay? Two patterns that show up often enough that they're worth listening to and thinking about. So you stick the middlemost group in as the comparison group, and by middlemost I mean in terms of average DV, and here we end up with a couple of patterns where you get a lot of information, even though you only have two dummy codes. We usually don't interpret bivariate correlations between dummy codes for K greater than two groups. How come? The B weights of the K group dummy codes have the interpretation we give them in a multiple regression because of the collinearity pattern produced by the coding weights. Remember, in a multiple regression, one of the things that influences a regression weight is the collinearity between that predictor and others. The reason a dummy code regression weight has the interpretation it does is because it's in there with the other dummy codes. Correlated with the criterion separately, they have different meanings that we probably don't care about. Taken by itself, dummy code 1 is a complex comparison. It compares group 1 with the average of group 2 and 3, just by itself. Put in a multiple regression equation with the other variable, now it's the comparison of 1 and 3. But by itself, it's the comparison of 1 with the average of 2 and 3. Now, if you care about that, interpret the correlation. If you don't care about that, and you almost certainly won't, don't interpret the dummy code bivariate correlation. Same problem with dummy code 2. by itself, it represents group 2 compared to the average of group 1 and 3. Probably something you don't care about. So we interpret the regression weights because the collinearity pattern gives them an interpretation we care about. We don't correlate the criteria, or we don't interpret the correlations. How are we doing? Yeah.
So why is it that causal regression takes care of that? I'm not quite understanding what happens in the multiple regression that makes that change.
Because of the correlation between dummy code 1 and dummy code 2. Left by itself, this is the relationship between group 1 and the average of group 2 and 3. Left by itself, this is the comparison of group 2 with the average of 1 and 3. When you put them in together, when you control the comparison of 1 with the average of 2 and 3, for the difference between 2 and 3, what's left is the relationship between 1 and 3. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.